A tall, slender Mexican sat hunched in Ephraim Swan's tent, wearing a rumpled white suit and an impatient look. Swan sat across from him, drinking from a snifter of brandy.
How long do you expect my offer to stand? I, like you, have customers I must keep happy. If I do not bring them a product, then they begin to look elsewhere.
I'll get them for you, Eduardo. I told you I would, and I will. I've run into some, shall we say, unforeseen circumstances. They're nothing I can't handle in time.
Would these unforeseen circumstances be Mr. Frank Morgan, the famous gunman and desperado?
Huh. You know the bastard down in Mexico?
Oh, yes. He's quite a legend. I understand your problem, but unfortunately I can only give you one more week. If you somehow get the girls back by then, my offer is still valid. Any time beyond that, and my buyers will begin to look at other markets. They are particularly interested in the red-headed señorita, so I will give you the agreed price for them whenever you bring them. The güeras, the blondes as well. But the price will go down considerably for all the others after this week. Frank Morgan or no, my feet are, how you say it, held to the fire.
Thank you for the week, Eduardo. I'll make good use of it, I promise you.
May I ask you what you plan to do? I have heard of your reward. I have also heard this Morgan has killed everyone who has challenged him so far.
I have sent the word all over about the reward. Men will begin to come and challenge him in droves. Some will go for him in town, others will try him on the prairie. Sooner or later, he will lose.
I hope for your sake, Ephraim, it is sooner rather than later.
I've sent word to a very special man who should be able to speed things up. Once he hears, all our troubles should be over.
These are not my troubles. These are yours, and yours alone.
Swan smiled broadly. His face hid the inner fury that gnawed at his stomach. If in a week's time he didn't have the girls, Frank Morgan would still pay dearly, but so would Eduardo. For the next time they met, if the price was lowered 1 peso, Swan would see the bony Mexican torn limb from limb for all his smart, condescending attitude. 5 days later, the wagons pulled into the settlement of Garden City, Kansas, about 60 miles from the Colorado line. As the women entered the small mercantile, a well-dressed man in a high-collared shirt and bowler hat sauntered up on the boardwalk. He had a dark, pencil-thin mustache, which looked like it took a lot of work, under a crooked nose. An assortment of white scars adorned the backs of his large hands. He carried himself with a confident air of strength and grace, a bare-knuckle boxer.
Pardon me for intruding.
What can I do for you?
My name is George Carlyle.
The boxer stuck out a beefy paw. He smiled under his tiny mustache. There seemed to be nothing but admiration in his eyes. They shook hands.
Frank Morgan.
I know. You're the reason I'm here. I'm on assignment from a national detective agency.
Pinkerton?
After what they did to Jesse James' mother, Frank had little use for Alan Pinkerton or his men. Carlyle smiled, but didn't come out and admit to working for the infamous agency.
I spoke with Sheriff Masterson in Dodge. He told me about the trouble with Swan and his gang.
And?
You've no doubt heard of the $10,000 reward Swan has put on your head.
As Carlyle spoke, Frank was watching two trouble-hunting young men strolling across the street toward him like they owned the place.
And what business is this of yours, Mr. Carlyle?
Swan is a ruthless man.
I don't reckon I need you to tell me that. Pardon me. Looks like I have to take care of a little something.
Frank stepped off the boardwalk to face the two young men. One of them was big and oafish, with a lumbering gait that left huge tracks in the soft dirt of the street. The other, a head shorter than his compadre, wore a brace of two ivory-handled pistols and a frown.
Do you think he can use both those guns at the same time?
Carlyle had followed Frank into the street.
Some are able to. I'm a fair hand with two guns. Now, Mr. Carlyle, I don't mean to be rude, but there just might be gunplay here. Why don't you scoot back up on the sidewalk where it's safe?
I'll be fine. This might prove interesting.
You Frank Morgan?
I am. What's on your mind?
I think you're getting a little gray around the edges, old man.
Could be. Happens to us all sooner or later.
I don't think you're as all-fired good as folks say you are. You look all beat up to me. Maybe traipsing along with all those women has turned you into a woman your own self.
Who's this dude with you, Morgan? Your nanny? Looks like he's wearing half a melon on his head.
I want you to think about this, boys.
We ain't boys. I beat Matt Sunday not a month ago.
You killed Matthew Sunday?
Damn right I killed him. He's planted in the cemetery on the edge of town.
You must be fast then. Sunday's supposed to be pretty good.
He was faster than you. Hey, you know, partner, while my friend shoots Morgan and earns us a quick $10,000, I think I'll whip your ass just for the fun of it.
Carlisle smiled an easy smile. His left hand shot out in a quick jab, just grazing the big oaf's nose. His right following, pulling the giant's gaze and his guard with it. A brutal left hook smashed into the young man's face. He tottered for a moment, dazed, and then collapsed to the street in a mighty puff of dust.
You as fast as your friend there?
Two-Gun was silent, but he glared daggers at both men. Frank stepped in and snatched both ivory-handled pistols from the young man's holster.
Not fast enough to keep me from doing this.
He brought both barrels straight down, thumping the astonished man on top of his noggin.
That was some respectable fisticuffs, Mr. Carlisle. Where did you learn to fight like that?
I've done a bit of boxing in my time.
I'll bet you have, sir. I seem to remember reading about a George Carlisle who was bare-knuckle boxing champion on the Eastern Seaboard a few years back.
Too many years, I'm afraid.
So, what's your National Detective Agency got an interest in me for?
Two things, really. I've been commissioned to offer you a job.
Not interested.
Don't you even want to hear the particulars?
Not really. Now, what's the other thing?
It's your son, Frank.
What's wrong with Conrad?
Well, nothing's wrong. Quite the contrary. He's doing well. He heard about the $10,000 bounty Swan put on your head and hired us to protect you.
Damn fool, kid. He should know enough to know I, of all people, don't need a bodyguard.
At one time or another, everybody has to rest. That's where we come in. We take up the slack. That's why they call us the Eye That Never Sleeps.
So you are from Pinkerton, then?
Afraid so, Morgan. Look at it this way. I can be of help to you, seeing to it that the women are safe.
Frank rubbed his chin whiskers and thought. This Carlisle was a likable enough person. He was sure enough handy with his fists.
What kind of gun do you carry?
The boxer opened his coat to reveal a shoulder rig and the round butt of a short-barreled revolver.
It's a 3-inch Colt with bird's head grips. I had a little action work done on it by a gunsmith I know in Boston. A real pleasure to shoot.
Are you any good with it?
I'm good. Good enough to know that I don't ever want to tangle with you when it comes to gunplay.
Well, George, I don't think I'd want to box against you either. Now let's go introduce you to the girls. But I want you to get one thing straight. You're not my bodyguard. I'm bringing you along to help me look after these women. Are we clear on that?
Crystal.
Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.